Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
So this week's parasha, we're going to be discussing the birth of all of the different Shvatim. So when you think about as the birth of the Shvatim goes and the various positions of either authority or leadership, positions of power, esteemed tribes that are born, I think there are four that we could say that exist in Kali. So four specific tribes that we would say have specific titles or positions. Yes, this is what you would say?
Yehuda
being... Malchus, kingship. Levi. Levi being Kahuna, the priesthood. So you have priesthood, you have kingship.
You have Reuven.
Reuven as the Bechor, which would have otherwise been, you know, the priesthood status. And the Bechor is always given a status. Okay, we have Bechor, kingdom, and Yehuda. You have priesthood.
Shannon?
What does Yosef represent?
I don't know.
Well,
you have
Zebulun. Zebulun, I would go with. Zebulun, well, not Zebulun.
Yisachar.
Yisachar. Yisachar representing.
Monetary.
Torah. Zebulun is money, right. And Yisachar is Torah. When you put those four on the board, those are the four points in Klal Yisrael. Torah, Malchus, you have Kahuna, and you have the Bechor. Those are the four primary Shvatim, if you were to define one as being more primary than another, that have a certain established position. Who is the mother of those children?
Leah.
Well, so Reuven is Leah. Levi is Leah. Yehuda is Leah. Those are the first four. Is Leah and Yisachar?
Zilpah is her maidservant.
Yeah.
We're going to get one of them, right?
Wait, is Reuven Shimon?
Yeah. Right. Someone said Leah?
Yeah.
That was the first
one.
Yeah, so Leah. I didn't hear somebody say Leah. So Leah mothers...
Zebulun.
Leah mothers all four of these children, which is interesting when you think about Yaakov's primary wife is... For sure, Rachel. Rachel is the one that he wanted to marry. Rachel is the one who he's waiting for the whole time. Leah gets... I don't want to use the word shtupped in, but... That's sort of the way that the story tells. That's the way that it happens. And Leah ends up with Klal Yisrael. Leah ends up with the bulk. Not only does she end up with 6 out of the 12 Shvatim, so she ends up with a full half of Klal Yisrael, but she ends up with the four big ones. She ends up with Torah, Malchus, Kahuna, Bechorah. She ends up with all of those. So how is it that Leah should end up with these four, and Rachel gets Yosef and Binyamin? Important shvatim as well, but not the big four that we would assume, and which all end up at Leah's doorstep, which is an interesting twist in this story. Not just that it's not split, not that she doesn't get any of them, but she gets all of them. So the medrash that I want to learn tonight is I put only 2 midrashim on the page today. On the top medrash, which is based on the following psukim, which is we go through the story by Hibo Erev. Torah describes it came to pass that night, describing the marriage of Yaakov to what was supposed to be Rachel. Vayikachas Leah b'tova yaveh zoe lov. So Lavan, of course, as we are familiar, takes his eldest daughter Leah and brings her to the chuppah instead of Rachel. Vayavoe lov. Vayhi baboker. It was in the morning. Vihinehi Leah. And behold, it was Leah. Yomer Lavan mazos hasisili. Yaakov complained. What did you do? Lavan rimisani. Why did you deceive me? So Rashi points out, Chazal points out on the language of Vayihi Baboker, and it was in the morning, Vayihi Hile. Turns out, it seems like, it was only Leah in the morning. Wasn't Leah in the night? Why does the Torah say it in a way that seems to imply like, and he only discovered that it was Leah at night?
All the morning.
So Rashi points out that because of the Siman, and Rashi points out, that Rachel saw what was going on and that she and Yaakov already had all of these simanim, and so when she saw that her sister was being brought to the chuppah, she didn't want him to be embarrassed, so she gave her the simanim. So Yaakov thought it was Rachel because he had all of the simanim. Look at the Medrash from Bereishis Rabbah. The Medrash is as follows in the first box. V'chol ha'hu laila hu tzavach la Rachel. Medrash is picking up on the same point. It was only Leah in the morning. What about at night? Says the Medrash, Yaakov is calling through the whole night. He's saying, Rachel, Rachel. Vihi Anyale. And she would answer, yeah, it's Rachel. Batzafra, turns out in the morning, v'hinei Leah, it's Leah, it's not Rachel. Amar lo, amar remiso bas rama'a, you are one who deceives a trickster, the daughter of a trickster.
Yes.
Not just Lavan who's trying to trick me, you're involved, what Yaakov says to her. You're just as guilty as your father, remiso bas rama'a, one who deceives a deceiver, the daughter of a deceiver. Rachel, didn't I call you the whole night, Rachel, and you kept answering me? Amrulay, Leah responds, is Seifer the less late Talmidim? Is there such a thing as a teacher who doesn't have students? Where do you think I got this from? Leah says, didn't your father in last week's parsha say, Esav, is that you? And Yaakov, don't you remember what you said? Don't you remember you said, Anoichi? Don't you remember you answered your father? I didn't make this up, Leah says. Don't claim on me that I'm this Ramo'o, I'm the one who deceives. I learned it from you, Yaakov. Fascinating medrash.
How does she know that? It's not like...
Excellent. Okay, so we have this. So there are a lot of questions you ask in a medrash like this. One would be like, well...
This news
conversation really happened. Like it was the public; everybody knew that. So
internet.
I believe we'll have an answer for that. Even without theory, even without.
Recently, Yahoo told over the story. He's been there for X number of years. He told over the story, you know, like. All of a sudden he shows up.
He's been there for 7 years at this point because he's been working a little more than that, actually.
You know, you probably explain why he showed up there.
I don't know.
Isn't there the
Rashi
earlier that says that
that
people would say that this that
Leah
is going to go with
Esau
and that Yaakov?
Okay, we're
going to
see that's the next one on the bottom. Yeah.
Maybe it could be that.
One second, and there.
Good reading ahead.
I didn't see that.
That's great.
So no, but I'm saying it's clearly a known thing. It was. You see that there was clearly communication. These were the famous people that were
right. Okay, and these were certainly the big families. That's for sure.
The
original tablet.
Right. So but people knew. People clearly knew what was supposed to be with the family. If that had switched, then.
Because you're answering the question as to how she might have actually known about that, either that he told her or that.
That's like a public story. That's something that happened between two people.
I mean, it could very well be. Esau sitting here running wild. He had to run for his life. He's now hiding up by Lod, and I mean, Lavan, and ends up having an entire, you know, having to meet his brother, and there's a whole army after him. I mean, Esau's probably spent it telling everybody, I mean, my brother did this to me.
Okay, possible.
And also maybe
wanted posters everywhere.
Okay. Bottom line is however she knew about it, the idea the Medrash is saying is Leah under the chuppah actively goes ahead and takes part in this deception. This Medrash is saying it wasn't just that Lavan switches her and she's a passive participant hoping nothing will be noted. Yaakov is calling Rachel the whole night. He's expecting it. He and Rachel had put up these simanim, these signs that they were going to use. Not only does she then get the simanim from Rachel, but she continues it throughout the whole night, answering on behalf of Rachel. And when Yaakov calls her on it, she says, "What do you mean? What do you want from me?"
If anything, it's Rachel's fault. She gave over the
simanim, and then Leah says, "I learned from you. I learned from the best. You did the same thing last week." So the Rosh Hashiva is at Tzav Glova, so he has the following approach in this medrash. Very beautiful approach. So we'll start from where Eric was bringing the Gemara. This is the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara says on the Pasuk of the Lavan, on the bottom of the page, Shteva notes, there were two daughters that Lavan had, the Gedol and the Leah. The Gedol and the Ketana, the older and the younger one. The Einei Leah Rakos, the eyes of Leah were tender. The Rochel Haisa Yifas Toyav Yifas Mare. So the Gemara says, wasn't said in Shemos, Loiginai hula. It's not a shame that Leah's eyes were rakos, that her eyes were tender. Ela shvach hula. The Torah is actually praising Leah by saying that her eyes were reddened with tears; they were tender. Shaisa shaymas al proshes drachim, because she used to hear people talking on the crossroads. They would say shnei banim l'rivka, shtei banos yesh l'lavan. The brother and the sister. Rivka has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Her brother Lavan has two daughters, Rachel and Leah. So people were talking, we'll make a shidduch, the older to the older, the younger to the younger, and everybody will be happy. Says the Gemara, Haisa Yosheves al Proshes Drachim. So she would sit and she would ask, so new, What's he like, my intended chassan? What's that older boy, what's he up to? They would say, ah, it's a Rasha, Ishra, Melastimus Abrios, he stands on the road, he robs people, he abuses them.
Was he married at that point?
He was, at this point in the story, he was, but only, the Torah describes him getting married when Yaakov runs. So he wasn't much earlier, but that wouldn't have been a problem anyway, because they were going to have more than one wife.
Right, for sure.
And we know that his son Eliphaz is the one who runs after Yaakov on his way out. Yeah, so he's clearly got a couple wives at this point. So she says after he hears what an evil man this older son is, who she's supposed to marry, so she says, well, what about the younger one? What's he like? They say, ah, Yaakov, he's an ishtam, a wholesome man, he's a yoshev olam, he's sitting and learning. So she would sit and she would cry, where it says. And therefore, it's a shvach, when the Torah says that her eyes were rakos, it's praising her that she would cry over her lot, that she was destined to marry this Rasha when she had this younger brother who was not for her, who was really this big tzaddik and an ishtam. So Jews are very interesting. They have these two brothers destined to marry. People were talking like there are these two boys, there's two girls, let's marry them off to each other. So
enter,
come on in.
Hi, how are you? Yeah.
So he said, so
yes. Don't bring them in.
Tell me if the lunar sickle throw.
Yeah,
I just have some cake.
So Jimmy used to explain that we like to think that Yaakov and Esav were destined for whatever lot in life they were going to have. And he has an approach that, and there are some Midrashim that would point that way as well, that Yaakov and Esav were destined to be part of Ki Yitzchak Ikari L'Chazera. Abram was promised, was told, and through Yitzchak will your destiny follow. And Yitzchak thought it was going to be both. But there are two types of avoda that we have, two types of service that are encompass the Jewish world. And his example that he used to explain was a yeshiva. Imagine a yeshiva, any regular yeshiva. So you say, what makes the yeshiva run? What makes it work? So you say, well, Rosh Yeshiva. I mean, Rosh Yeshiva is the one who's teaching. He's the one who's giving over the Torah. He's the one who's getting the Bachram. He's the one who's inspiring them. He's the one who's raising the next generation. So you say, well, she's very important, but you know, if there's nobody doing the fundraising, if there's no executive director who's worrying about the building, who's worrying about who's paying the Rosh Yeshiva, who's filing the applications, and there's no yeshiva. So you say, okay, they're both integral to the functioning of the yeshiva, and you have two factors. You have to have, you know, someone says, I want to open a yeshiva, and the executive director has no one teaching the Torah. So you say, that's like, what are you doing? You can't, you're just... This is a yeshiva. And Rosh Yeshiva says, I want to teach Torah, but you need somebody to make the building run. So he would define in the terms that Rosh Yeshiva used to learn was avodas pnim and avodas chutz. The inner avoda, the avoda of tefillah, the avoda of limud haTorah. Somebody has to be doing that. And there's the avoda of the avodas chutz, and somebody has to be out in the world making it work, functioning, interacting with the world. And Yitzchak saw in whose two sons a partnership. Yitzchak saw them both being involved. He saw Yaakov as an ishtam yoshev oyalim, he's going to be my Rosh Hashiva. And he saw Esav as an isha sada. And Yitzchak didn't naturally think, wasn't that he thought that Esav was learning the whole time? And he was fooled, like, I thought I sent him off to yeshiva, and lo and behold, I get reports that he's off on Ben Yehuda Street. Wasn't that he thought he was in yeshiva? So he's the isha sada. He's out there. He's ruling the world. He's controlling it. He knows how to manipulate it. He knows how to deal with it. And if Esav would have chosen a different path with those talents and that approach, he would have functioned very well together with Yaakov, creating a system in which they both function together. Yaakov's able to do his teaching, and Esav is creating the context, so to speak, for that to work. They're both critical for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael could not function with one without the other. I don't know if there was, and I was in Neri Stroll, so, you know, Neri Stroll, or Naftali Neuberger, was a gone, and he made the yeshiva run. He never gave, I don't know, never gave a shot. Maybe he once did, but he didn't give shir. But without him, there was no yeshiva. There was no yeshiva. He ran the place, he fundraised, he had connections with all of the local politicians. And without him, there is nothing. And so there's a partnership. There's a partnership between the Rashi Yeshiva and between those who make it work. And Yitzchak thought that's what he had here. He had his Esav and he had his Yaakov. Except that Esav, even in that role, had no interest. Even he wasn't going to be part of Klal Yisrael. He wasn't going to be fun. He wasn't going to be out there in the world doing his things. He was out there doing his thing, not for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. When Yaakov comes and steals the bracha, think about what Yaakov is doing at that time. Until this point, what's Yaakov's role in life? Simple Yid, sitting in yeshiva, he's learning. You want to deal with the world? You know what it's like to deal with the world? You got to go out there. You got to function in a bit. It's a different place than the yeshiva. The four walls of yeshiva function in one set of rules. When you go out there, you know, it's a different world. You got to know how to function in that world too. When Yaakov steals the bracha, it's ke'ilu he saw, you know, we need somebody in Klal Yisrael to do this, and my brother ain't doing it. He's not part of this. He doesn't want to be part of it. Yaakov comes and he takes that bracha biramos, with trickery, with deception. And in essence he says,
I can do it too.
I can do it. And I have to. Klal Yisrael needs it, and my brother is not doing it, and with deception says, I'm taking it. And in essence, when he gets the bracha from Yitzchak, he now has both brachas. The bracha that Yitzchak was going to give Esav, Vayitelecha Mital HaShamayim, he was going to give him the bracha of physical plenty, that you should be blessed in the world, was the bracha that Esav needed to be able to do his job. And Yaakov comes b'mirma, he comes tricking, thievery, sliding his way in, dressing up as Esav, saying, I can play this game, I can be in the world. And he takes that bracha too. Now he has both. Under the chuppah, when Leah is put in and she has an active role, and she says to Yaakov, I learned from you. You're claiming Rachel, 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 and I answered, where did I get this from? I got it from you because your father said to you, Esav, 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 is that you? And you said, yeah. And when you said, yeah, you took the other aspect of Klal Yisrael. You said, I can play this game. Anochi, kama, Esav, v'chayrecha, it's me, Esav, it's me, you want to play that game? Well, you played that game, guess what you got also? You got me. Because Esav was destined to marry Leah, and Yaakov is supposed to marry Rachel. Rachel's primary role was going to be the wife of the Avodas Pnim, the Rashi Yeshiva, and Leah was going to be the wife of the Esav. When Yaakov takes that role, when he says, I'm taking both brachas, Esav can't have this. When you say Anochi to your father, so that means I now have to say Anochi to you. That's like, it's not like I have, it's, you got me. You now have both wives. You don't have just, because just like you have two roles now, so the two roles have two wives, we're going to destined to mother and father Klal Yisrael, so now you have both. So I come along also. You know, bye.
But they weren't promised to the roles, they were promised to the person. So
he usurped them.
Right, he took that whole...
So he's both,
yeah, but that didn't change who he is. Esav is still Esav, and she was promised to Esav.
So the role in Klal Yisrael... Right, I mean, he's out, and Yaakov has
been. But when everyone's talking that you're to this person and you're to that person, they weren't talking about, like, well, you're going to marry him for this personality. You're going to. They were saying, there's two sons, there's two daughters, go get married. It was not on a spiritual level.
Yeah,
and now it's like you're turning
on him. Would claim differently.
Yeah, I mean, certainly even Shadchan today, but certainly right. Back then, when we're talking about Chazal Shadchaning off the.
It wasn't Chazal, it was the people on the road.
Yeah, so clearly, at 100%, in other words, that's how they're talking, but in terms of who was supposed to marry who, that shidduch, whatever she's crying about that,
right,
and that truly has a role, is in a manner of she now becomes Yaakov's other wife.
And also,
let me just finish this thought, just because I
no, I understand that, but then she shouldn't be crying because she knows now she's going to go to Yaakov.
Is that why?
Because if she's promised to that personality,
no, because she hasn't. In other words, she's crying because all the time she's a Russia. This just happened. Right. Where now Yaakov goes in and steals the bracha.
7 years before. So at this point, her eyes
should heal.
How about that? We can deal. Is that why after she gave Rachel the dying, she went out to the field to Yaakov?
Who does? Well,
Leah goes out to Yaakov in the field?
Possibly right. No, that's because her name, well, So this is one of the Rosh Hashanah lines, which the yeshiva learns an interesting chiddush. This I never heard, but I find it fascinating just because it almost plays itself out. If you think about the concept that Yaakov was supposed to marry Rachel, one would have certainly thought that the children from that union would have been Torah, Avoda, Kahuna, Malchut. That's where it should have come from, and it all comes from Leah. So the Shiva learns that when Rachel was Moser Simanim, when she gives over the signs to her sister Leah, Chazalni much more than, you know, like a touch on the nose and to the ear, like a, you know, the third base coach as to like what's the sign that it's Leah, that she's most of the simanim of you're going to become the primary wife. When you stand under that chuppah, the first woman that Yaakov is going to marry, he's going to marry what he's for sure his primary avoda always will be an ish tam yoshev olam. He's always going to be the Rosh Hashiva. Except now the Rosh Hashiva is going to want to fundraise also. Used to be Rosh Hashiva, it should have been Rosh Hashiva, he only would fit one. Now he's going to fundraise, he's got to do both. But his primary wife that he's going to marry is going to be his wife of Leah. She was most of the simanim of, I'm giving over to you that which would have been my role, and it now becomes yours. You're going to become that primary wife. And Leah actually has all of those children. She has the Bechor, she has Levi, she has Yehuda, she has Yisachar. She has all of the primary aspects of Klal Yisrael, which would be what should have been Rachel's, are all given over to Leah. And Rachel ends up with the Yosef and the Binyamin, who are the two tribes who are always going out into the world. Yosef represents the going down to Mitzrayim, the setting up shop in as the viceroy of all of Egypt. Yosef and Binyamin are Shaul, the temporary king, the temporary Mishkan, which will be in Shiloh, leading up to the permanence of the Yehuda and the Malchus. And the one who's out there, Mordechai, the Purim story, are all descendants of Binyamin. That's all Rachel's children. When it literally flips from what we would have thought should have been, that Rachel's children would have been the Rashi Yeshiva type, and they become, and that's all given over to Leah, and she takes over there, she has all of those children, and then Rachel ends up with the Yosef and the Binyamin.
Binyamin's really big Yehuda.
Part of his chelik, and part of his share between Yehuda and Binyamin.
Binyamin claimed the Malchus for a while.
In other words, they claim there's a Mashiach ben Yosef and then a Mashiach ben David. There's the setting the table, starting things off, leading to the permanence of Yehuda.
I'm saying, wasn't in Jewish history there was a whole power struggle between Malchus and Yosef?
Yeah, it'll always be between Ephraim and Yehuda. Yes, in other words, between like the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, there will be that struggle. Right, the combination of the Ephraim and the Yehuda coming together will be part of the Geula process. That battle, that conflict or tension, so to speak, is there. That's correct. Has been and will be.
That's not part of Gogu Mago, is it?
I don't think so. But I don't know enough to say that with any authority. But the Shiva's learning is that the Medrash that Leah says, I learned from you, was really a sense saying, when you did that to your father, you got me. Exactly like a package deal. I became yours in the sense of, you took Esav's avoda, I was supposed to be his, and now I become yours. And when Rachel lets her do that, gives her the simanim that she should go first, she gives to her what that means to be that wife of the original wife that Yaakov was supposed to have, and she actually takes over that role, and she becomes the mother of that aspect of Klal Yisrael, and Rachel ends up with the other role of the one being more involved in the world, the going out there, the setting the stage first for the permanence, both in the sense of the kings, Shaul, leading up to the kings of Malchus Beis David with the Mishkan and the other episodes of that.
So because of this, again, both wives, not just...
Correct. That is how he understands that story, or that medrash. Any better, or are you still like it?
It just, I don't know. And why are we punishing Rachel for...
She gave it over. She gave
it over. So it's not punishing.
It's a punishment.
So it's not a punishment. So the Rosh Hashiva learns...
What should she have done?
The Rosh Hashiva learns when... The Gemara, it's Medrash. The Medrash says that when Klal Yisrael is in Galus, and all of the others can't save them. Moshe can't save them. Avram can't save them. Yitzchak can't save them. But also Shah Kafsa Rachel Imenu Ben Kadosh Baruch Hu. At that time, Rachel stands up before Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, "Galu V'yadul Lefanecha. Look at what I gave up. I let my sister in. Masarti La'achosi Hasimanim Shemasarti LeBal. Gave her the Simanim." Gamalti Chesed Ima Miyan is Golgul Rachel Moshav Kavosh Baruch Hu B'Shvil Ha Rachel Vani Machzeros Yisrael B'Mkomim. Because of you, I will return Klal Yisrael. So,
is that like every time there's an issue, that's what she gets up? It's like
so. What was it about this more than anything else that the Avos
did? She's like, come on.
What was it that she did more? So she didn't embarrass. Her sister would have been humiliated.
But aren't we supposed to be, you know, it's not jealous. I mean, isn't there a concept of being like jealous of Torah or being taking that initiative to be like selfish with it?
Right.
So, in a certain way, I mean, shouldn't she have been, you know, this is her chelek, this is what she as a person deserves, is supposed to have, and I mean, the fact that she gave it over, really, she did give up something so important, she willingly, knowingly did that, and maybe, I mean, that's just the reason why she lost it, because she really maybe shouldn't have. I mean, granted, she wouldn't want
her. Her avoda would be giving up.
But she's also so worried about embarrassing her sister, like, it sounds like it was a half-thought plan, and then all of a sudden now, like, he rips into her. Like, so whatever, he just...
Yo, and then she turned off. She's all like, yo.
Yeah, fine, but there was like that.
People in glass houses throw stones.
Meaning in the sense they made Simonim because they were expecting something to happen.
Everyone knew it, like it was like a whole thing. Like it was going to happen, and then all of a sudden it happens, and then he just rips her anyway. So it doesn't make a difference. Leia gets told off by Yaakov anyway, even though, so it didn't really save her from embarrassment. It just prolonged it until the next
at the wedding, public humiliation.
Well, it saved her from, you know, from him storming.
Maybe it's somebody who embarrasses somebody, loses their chelik and all of Hava, and she goes, if I let my sister go through with this knowingly and willingly, then I don't have a chelik regardless.
A London.
Yeah.
Okay,
she say good,
say
better.
So, but Chazal seeing what she does, that which is going to stand for Klal Yisrael for eternity, what will bring us back from the Golos is Rachel's giving in to her sister, allowing Yaakov to get married to Leah first. And somehow in that is not just, she said, that's actually going to bring back the Geula, what Moshe and Avram and Yitzchak and, you know, what no one can do. It's going to be her saying, look at what I gave up, that's going to bring back Klal Yisrael, Chazal said.
But in theory, then it should have happened already.
That would become bad.
What are we waiting for? Like, she should have used it that first time and then Golos and... Right. No, I'm just saying, like,
or maybe it did.
But so that's not what's bringing it back. We obviously have to be off.
I think, isn't it that it saves us from permanent exile? As we're being exiled, it's not going to be a total destruction because of the argument that, you know, I let a competitor into my house.
So
we can do the same.
So that medrash that I just read for you is going to be the return from the first, when Yirmiyahu referring to the return from the first Golos, back from Babel, of Kol Beramon Nishma. Which we certainly, you know, we'll always refer to that pasuk, you know, even from the second goal. So that was actually a pasuk in Yirmiyah of the Master Yisrael and Kaiman.
Right, so it's been fulfilled and it's going to apply again?
You know, I don't know.
It applies the first time. And then
we definitely use that pasuk in reference to our goals that we're in now, but I can't tell. I don't know for sure. I mean, it was from Sefer Yirmiyah. I'm assuming that it's referring to the first goals. Of what will be in sending us back.
So Rachel was talking about the on their way out.
Right, on their way out, that they'll be brought back.
Not on their way back.
Right. In other words, this was that's on their way. That's what we were saying. On the way out, call Berman the Shema, which is a chit hamrum of Rachel mevakal alvanel. Call Mar Hashem mini kolech mi becha. You can wipe your tears away because yesh chav vozech v'shavu mi eretz oyev yesh tikva lacharisech. So the pashas is that would have been fulfilled when they came back, but I don't know, because in other words, even when they came back, technically it was temporary, and you know the Shechina never returned. The second Beit HaMikdash did not have what the first Beit HaMikdash had. So I don't know if we would maybe it's question in Rashi and the Mefarshim in the Pasuk as to whether or not that was always going to be a reference and hasn't yet been fulfilled completely.
Well, was the second bayit necessarily supposed to be destroyed? Was that
You know, it never was the end of the Galus. In other words, the Chanukah story, which takes place during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, is Galus Yavan.
Right.
Even though it's the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Shekhinah never returned in the way that it had been in the first place.
Right, no, I understand that.
So I don't know if it meant, I'm thinking, I don't know if it
would things have gotten better without the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed again? Was that the point?
That I don't know. Clearly something else needed to happen, yeah. That's a good point. I don't know. Something else needed to have happened. And I don't know if it needed to have been where there would have been a destruction in order to happen. Well, that's a good question. I don't know if there's a source somewhere that there was already destined to be destroyed. Probably we could find
one. The first Bais for sure was not destined to be destroyed, right?
No, it was.
It was?
It was. I just came across the Medrash recently. Where the Midrashim describe. It was in the Rashi last week's parsha. This is parsha when Yaakov sees Rachel for the first time, and he cries. And I think in this parsha Rashi says he cries over the two Bais HaMikdash which are going to be destroyed. And there was other midrashim which imply like when it was built that it was already done. And so, like that there was like this. Because we know that there were four galus. Already from the beginning of creation, there is a midrashim discussing the four galus. So it seems like. Part of the
how
equation.
How much of that are we fitting into the pasuk retroactively, and how much is that's the way the world?
What's
is.
Four?
So when?
Now.
If you have a message about something, that doesn't mean that it had to be that way. That means
it's not the way of the creation.
It
happened by Abraham.
That's like the Bible codes where like oh they go back and they're like oh look over there that's where it was but like they can't predict.
You have it also from Abraham. Ger yezarecha be'eretz lo la'aretz lo lahem. Where Chazal also seeing that in the Choshech open out Choshech Nofel the Lashon of Pesukim, they also put the four Galios into that Nebuah that your children are going to go into a Galos,
mm-hmm.
also into the that it was already embedded into that
that first prophecy of the Galos already had it.
I think it only doesn't have a Magda.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.